The Joker is back, Quicksilver is kind of back, and Cara Dune is gone, all coming up on Live Action Remake. Welcome back to Live Action Remake, your source for movie news, TV news, reviews, and recommendations. My name is Diego. It's been 2 weeks. Very happy to be back. Sorry about the delay last week. I didn't tell any of you guys, but I just was very busy last week. A lot of stuff we had to do. And, you know, it's been horrible here in Chicago with all the snow and pretty much everything else. But I'm back. I have more news than ever. We have a couple of really awesome trailers to talk about. Two new episodes of WandaVision, some shakeups with The Mandalorian, and much more. But why don't we get started, as we usually do, with trailers. We got a couple of new trailers in the last couple of weeks. Four that I really want to talk about. Starting with Zack Snyder's Justice League finally got a trailer. He released a couple of teases every day until we got it. And it was pretty cool. It's got some really good visuals. I would say less new stuff than the first trailer. There are still some things to talk about. For one thing, we get a really good look at Darkseid and his Apocalypse army. We also get a look at Granny Goodness and Dasaad, a couple of villains that will be in the movie as well. We get a little bit more of the nightmare sequence, a very good look at the Joker, as well as kind of the vibe he's going to be giving off. If you've ever played DC Universe Online, he reminds me very much of that Joker. He has a police officer vest, he's got badges from all the people he's killed, he's in a world that's already destroyed, so how does the Joker function in that kind of world? A little bit of an interesting take. I'm not very excited for Jared Leto, but I'm interested at least to see what that looks like. We get more looks at Cyborg, what he can do, as well as like him with like multiple cannons on him. It looked pretty cool. That was probably my favorite shot of the trailer. We also get Batman's tank from Batman The Dark Knight Returns. That was an incredible shot. I love Bruce Wayne, particularly Ben Affleck's Bruce Wayne, so I'm excited for him to see more of him. We also get the black-suited Superman, which I don't like Henry Cavill, but I gotta say, he looks fantastic. This movie is gonna be 4 hours long, rated R. It's gonna be a lot, but there are definitely gonna be things that I'm gonna be excited about going in. Check out the trailer on our page at Live Action Remake. On that page, you can also see the Superman and Lois trailer. Trailer number 3 had also come out in the past 2 weeks. It appears to be that the children of Superman are not very happy about the fact that he is Superman, and that's going to be a big part of the show. If you look at his kids, one is named Jordan and one is Jonathan. Jonathan is a real character in comics. He actually becomes Superman in the future. Jordan is not. So I'm interested to see what the dynamic is going to be. Maybe he doesn't have superpowers. Maybe he's going to be very bitter to the fact that his father is this Kryptonian hero and he is nothing and has no abilities. And maybe his brother does too and he has no abilities. So that's going to be an interesting dynamic. Or maybe they will make him a new kind of Superboy. Who knows? We also got a new trailer for Falcon and the Winter Soldier during the Super Bowl this year. It was probably the biggest trailer of this Super Bowl. We got more of a funny trailer. Marvel usually does a really serious, like, epic trailer, and then a funny trailer. This was the funny one. We get a little bit more of the dynamic between Falcon and Winter Soldier. We get to see Zemo. He kind of gives a hint as to what he's trying to do. He says he doesn't want to leave his work unfinished. I think that means that he's done with superheroes. He doesn't like them, and he thought he got rid of them with the Civil War, and then probably after Infinity War. But as you see in Endgame, there are more superheroes now more than ever. He's bitter, he's upset, he's coming back with a vengeance to try to get rid of all these superheroes. So I'm interested to see how he does that. We also get a good look at the Flag Smashers. The Flag Smashers, of course, are a group of terrorists that believe that anyone with a country or a flag should be done with. Like, get rid of all government so that way we can unite people. It's an interesting idea, and definitely one that opposes a Captain America. So I'm excited to see Falcon and Winter Soldier take them on as well. We still haven't gotten a good look at US Agent, who is a character I'm most excited about for this series, but hopefully maybe in the next one we'll get a good look at him. And finally, today we actually got a trailer for Cruella. Cruella is Disney's Joker, it appears to be. It's got that kind of vibe. Emma Stone is playing Cruella de Vil. It's going to be kind of an origin story, maybe leaning a little bit more into how she becomes this crazed maniac who wants to kill all these dogs. I think it looks like a lot of fun. It definitely looks like something different than Disney's usual live-action remakes. It's not focused so much on the story of the dogs. It's focused more on her and her uprising and her empowerment. That's interesting. Kind of a Maleficent Joker vibe. Again, as I said, you can check all four of those trailers out on our page at Live Action Remake right now on Facebook. Go check them out. Let me know what you guys think. Now, why don't we go on to movie news, starting with the fact that Zack Snyder had an interview talking about Jared Leto's new Joker, where he showed off our first look at Jared Leto's Joker. He started talking about how he was very upset that Ben Affleck's Batman and Jared Leto's Joker never really had a really good confrontation or never a really good meeting. And so he thought a great opportunity to do this would be in the Nightmare version in Justice League. Now, it appears that this Joker is going to be a lot different from what we've seen in Suicide Squad. He's going to be a little more broken because he's already in a world that's burning, and the Joker is a man that wants to watch the world burn. So how does that work? He's going to be a husk of what the Joker was. And it appears that it's going to be Joker analyzing Batman and saying, you know, all the things as to what he is, who he is, as the Joker usually does in the comics. So that's going to be pretty interesting. Again, I'm not excited that it's Jared Leto. I'm excited that we're getting something different. So it looks pretty cool. You can check out Jared Leto's Joker on our pages at Live Action Remake on Instagram and Facebook. Zawa Ashton has been confirmed to be the main villain of Captain Marvel 2. Although there's no word as to who she is playing, they set up the Kree pretty well. They've set up the Accusers now. I don't see why she can't be Hala the Accuser. I think that would make the most sense. It's what's been set up. And she would be opposite Brie Larson's Captain Marvel, Iman Vellani's Miss Marvel, and Tiana Paris's Monica Rambeau. So she's going to have to take on three different types of heroes. It would make sense that she would be someone pretty powerful, a powerful Kree. Hala would be a good choice, in my opinion. Batman 89 and Superman 78 are going to get comic book runs this July. That's right. Michael Keaton's Batman is coming to the comics, as is Christopher Reeve's Superman. They're going to get a continuation on their own stories. Although, it's a little weird because Superman 78 did get a continuation. That was Superman Returns. Batman 89 really didn't. So I guess, well, unless you count 3 and 4, I guess he did kind of continue. I don't know. Those were bad movies. But it's interesting to see that we're going to see Michael Keaton's version of Batman in the comics and Christopher Reeve's version of Superman in the comics. That's pretty big stuff. So I'm excited. I can't wait to read them. It's coming in July to DC Comics. Face Off is getting a sequel co-written and directed by Adam Wingard. Oh, that's such a train wreck of a movie, but like a good train wreck that you just can't stop watching. Ugh, it's such a weird movie. If it's a sequel, I'm wondering if they're going to switch back faces, or what's going to happen, or maybe their kids switch faces, or I don't know. If we're doing a remake, though, who would be cool? I say get two actors that look nothing alike, and then have really bad CGI, so it'd be very funny, like a Kevin Hart in The Rock. Just screw it, it's Face Off. It's a silly concept. I would love to see The Rock's face on Kevin Hart's body. I'm sure they've done that in pictures, but that would be very funny, so why not? So this has been reported by comicbook.com that Keanu Reeves was reportedly offered the role of Kraven the Hunter in a Sony Spider-Verse movie, and he passed on it. So, one, that would have been an excellent casting on Sony, but two, good move by Keanu Reeves, because these Sony Spider-Verse movies have not been particularly well-received. Yes, there's only Venom and the Morbius trailer, but they aren't particularly exciting. I think a Keanu Reeves Kraven movie could have been very cool. I think Keanu Reeves fighting Tom Holland's Spider-Man would be even better. Put him in Spider-Man 3, Keanu Reeves as Kraven the Hunter. I'm sad that he passed, because I would have liked to see the costume and Keanu Reeves in it, but I'm happy he didn't, because I think it's going to leave better opportunities for him in other Marvel movies, maybe. Sonic the Hedgehog sequel has got a title, and it is Sonic the Hedgehog 2. Very simple, easy to remember, and it's coming to theaters April 2022. There are some rumors as who is going to be playing Knuckles. I heard the name Jason Momoa thrown around a little bit, but those are just rumors right now. That'd be a good casting. I'd be down for Jason Momoa. Nicole Castle is set to direct a fresh take on The Wizard of Oz. Now, I think on the top list of things that don't need to be remade, it's The Wizard of Oz. It's a fantastic movie. It's timeless. It's beautiful. Don't do it. Just don't do it. Keep going with the Wicked movie, whoever's making that, but don't remake The Wizard of Oz. The Wizard of Oz is already perfect. It shouldn't be done. Don't do it. There's no fresh take to be had. It's a great movie. Stop. Chloe Zhao, director of Eternals, is set to direct a future sci-fi western version of Dracula for Universal Monsters. That's awesome. That's absolutely fantastic. Dracula as a sci-fi western. What? That's awesome. I'm excited for that. I think that the MonsterVerse should go in different and funner ways. Like, think outside the box. The Invisible Man did that. Now they're going with Dracula and trying to do that. Sure, give us, I don't know, the werewolf, but on Mars. Do weird stuff. I don't know. Just switch it up. Add more sci-fi. Add more interesting elements to it. And I'm here for it. Chloe Zhao, I hear, is absolutely fantastic. if we're doing the MonsterVerse and we're doing it weird, I'm for it now. The Dark Universe all over again. Let's go. Now, let's move on to TV news. Batwoman, The Flash, and Legends of Tomorrow have been renewed for another season. Those are three big Arrowverse shows. Superman and Lois, there's no word on that one yet, but that means the Arrowverse is set to live another day, so that's very interesting. The Powerpuff Girls are getting a CW show as well. In this, they will be disillusioned 20-somethings who resent having lost their childhood to crime fighting. This sounds like the Powerpuff Girls, but edgy and Riverdale-y, and I don't want it. I don't want it. Who wants this? I'm 100% sure that Lucy Hale is going to be in this, and I don't like that idea. I'm sure Lucy Hale will be freaking Buttercup, and I don't want that. I don't want this show. Who asked for older Powerpuff Girls? Next, we have Velma, starring Mindy Kaling, is set to come to HBO Max. It'll be an animated origin story on the beloved Scooby-Doo character. Now, I am not a big Scooby-Doo person. That was not something that I particularly grew up with. I thought it was a little bit silly. And I'm not a particularly big fan of Mindy Kaling. And Velma doesn't sound like a character that can stand alone by herself. It's an interesting concept. I know people really love that character compared to most of the others, but I don't think this show is going to hold up. I'm sure it'll be a one season going. I don't know. I'm not excited about it, but let me know if you guys are. The CW has passed on a pilot for Arrowverse's version of Wonder Girl. It would have been Yara Flor, a Latin dreamer. That sounds pretty interesting. I think they've been doing a good job with people of color in the Arrowverse. Black Lightning was a great show. But passing on a Hispanic Wonder Girl, it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of sad. But they did, however, pick up Naomi from Ava DuVernay, who is a young black girl in the DC Comics. So that one may be cool. So they picked up that. They passed on Wonder Girl. So we get a little more diversity in the Arrowverse. So that'll be fun. Pedro Pascal and Bella Ramsey will play Joel and Ellie in The Last of Us HBO series. This has been met with overall enthusiasm. Pedro Pascal can do no wrong these days, of course. Also, these two are Game of Thrones alumni, so I guess that they know each other. I've never seen Game of Thrones, but I've heard really good things about Bella Ramsey. Yeah, it seems like a lot of fun. Road trip, Pedro Pascal, taking care of a kid. He does it all the time. Let's go. We get a new behind-the-scenes look at Kate Bishop in full costume. Arrow, archery, all of it. Go check it out on our page at Live Action Remake. She looks great. This costume, I can't stop talking about how amazing Hailee Steinfeld looks at Kate, as Kate Bishop. Perfect casting. Very excited about that. In some sad news, Brooklyn Nine-Nine will end with its 8th season on NBC. The show is going to end on its own terms in a shortened version of an 8th season due to the pandemic, of course. Probably one of the best sitcoms of our modern time right now. Great cast, diverse, they tackle heavy subjects very well, they're very funny and goofy. It's a fun show if you haven't seen it. I actually started watching it when it got canceled the first time because everyone brought it back in like 20 hours. And I was like, how could you bring back a show so fast? It has to be good. And it was a delight. So check out that show, definitely, if you haven't seen Brooklyn Nine-Nine before it ends. Donald Glover and Phoebe Waller-Bridge are set to appear in a TV adaptation of Mr. and Mrs. Smith on Amazon Prime. Now, that is such a fun idea. I love Donald Glover. He's probably one of the best writers working today, and Phoebe Waller-Bridge has one of the best shows on Amazon Prime. I'm pretty sure I recommended it in one of my first episodes. Fleabag is probably one of the funniest shows you will ever see, and watch it on Amazon Prime, like, now. She's a great writer. They're both great writers and great actors. They actually teamed up together before. They were both in Solo, Donald Glover, of course, being Lando. Phoebe Waller-Bridge was actually L3, his robot droid. So they have some kind of chemistry. They know each other very well. So a Mr. and Mrs. spinoff with these two funny, great actors, I'm all for it. Oh, please, I want to see this now. I want to see this right now. I'm so excited. Assembled, the making of WandaVision, is set to appear March 12th on Disney+, and will also feature the making of other Marvel shows and movies. I love a good documentary, and if it's just behind the scenes of WandaVision, I'm going to watch the whole thing. I'm so excited. They did a very good version. It's called The Gallery of the Mandalorian. They did this for season 1 and a little bit of season 2. Check that out. It's a good documentary on how they made the whole show. So I'd love to see how they did WandaVision as well. Cara Dune actress Gina Carano has been fired from Lucasfilm after a, dare I say, horrible thing she put on her Instagram story. She doubled down on it later on, saying, basically comparing being a Republican today to being a Jew in Nazi Germany. That's horrible, a bad comparison. It's smart that they fired her. I guess that Lucasfilm has been looking for a reason to fire her for a while because of her also saying things against vaccinations and against wearing a mask and against trans people. So she's kind of been a horrible person for a minute, and her consequences have finally caught up to her. I'm sad because I really like the character of Cara Dune. I think Cara Dune was a great character, but I think this is necessary, and I'm glad that Gina Carano is not on the set of The Mandalorian anymore. That being said, Cara Dune doesn't need to be Gina Carano. Charlize Theron for Cara Dune. Come on. It's a big enough show now that they can get Charlize Theron. She's a badass. She's cool. She's a nice person. Get her. Bring her back. Make her the lead of Rangers of the New Republic. Charlize Theron for Cara Dune. Come on. Let's make it happen. Please. And that's all the news I had for this week. Let me know what you are most excited for. Are you excited for Mr. and Mrs. Smith? Are you excited for Batwoman, The Flash, or Legends of Tomorrow coming back? The weird Dracula movie? A new Wizard of Oz? Face Off? Coming back? Keanu Reeves not being Kraven the Hunter? Tell me what you're excited about. Let me know. Email me at liveactionremakepodcast@gmail.com. Now on to what I'm currently reading. I am reading Darth Maul, Son of Dathomir, a very interesting comic taking place in between Clone Wars. If you're a big fan of Clone Wars, it's right up your alley. This takes place, spoilers, after Darth Sidious captures Darth Maul and kills his brother, Savage Opress. So Darth Maul is on his back foot again, robot legs, chained up. He has a confrontation with Dooku. He has a confrontation with Grievous. We get to see a little bit more of his Mandalorian servants, and they help break him out. It's a very fun comic. We get a little bit more into the psyche of Darth Maul. Personally, Darth Maul is my favorite Star Wars character. I think the idea of this guy who just has all these ideas and ambitions and can just never catch a break is very fun. He's a very powerful Force user, skilled Sith. I love him so much. I think there's a lot of depth to him, a lot more than any other Sith. So definitely check out the comic, Darth Maul, Son of Dathomir. He's my favorite character. I think you'll really like it if you like the Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels. Check it out. You can get it on Amazon or wherever you get comic books. It's pretty good. Next, we're going to be talking about the latest two episodes of WandaVision on a very special episode and an all-new Halloween spooktacular. So if you haven't seen either of those episodes, pause this episode right now and go check them out because we need to talk about it. And you're going to come back here and then we're going to cue everything I had to say because it's been too long since I talked about this show. So 3, 2, 1, let's start. On a very special episode, which is set in the 80s and 90s setting, Wanda and Vision struggle with Tommy and Billy. They're babies now. They don't know what to do. Agnes comes over, and this is already we have a disruption in the bubble. Already. Agnes wants to take it from the top. Like, oh, should we redo that? And Vision is very taken aback by this. Vision in this episode particularly is starting to realize that something is very wrong here, especially because Wanda won't acknowledge it. He's a little upset by this. Later on, Wanda actually sends him off to go to work, which is an interesting thing that she can do that on a Saturday. So that way she can distract him, but that works less for her because Vision is able to read an email from S.W.O.R.D. now that he has technology in Westview. He's able to actually bring someone out of WandaVision bubble brain wipe or whatever and sees this horrific performance of this guy just being like, I need to call from my sister, I need to know about my dad, like my dad's not like we're all under her control, we're all under her control. We also get an assassination attempt on Wanda from S.W.O.R.D. that ends with a very, very fun confrontation between Scarlet Witch and all of S.W.O.R.D. and you kind of see how powerful Wanda has become when she steps out. It's one person and they all have guns toward her, and yet she is not fazed it at all. Not even a little bit. We also find out that the twins have the ability to age themselves up, which is particularly weird. They never really acknowledge it either. They're just like, oh yeah, they age themselves up. They get a dog, which was cute for a little bit until we find out that Sparky died. Agnes finds him, and we get Wanda doing a little bit of a, like, oh, you know, death is forever, and, you know, we can't change that, which is pretty hypocritical of her. And I think that was kind of the point. given that she's brought Vision back to life and she's stolen his body and such. And finally, it ends with a very good confrontation between Vision and Wanda, where Vision confronts her on everything that's been going on. And we realize that Vision doesn't remember his life before this. Vision has no memories of anything other than this, which is kind of why he hasn't been questioning it, I assume, because he's like, this is what life is. And Wanda won't tell him anything. Wanda won't tell him that he's dead. Wanda won't tell him that he was an Avenger or a superhero or that he was a superhero. This is just their life. He makes up some good points as to why are there no children in Westview? Like, why are Billy and Tommy the only ones around? Like, what are you doing to everyone? And she won't really give any clear-cut answers. I have to say, Paul Bettany has been really impressive throughout this whole show, comedically, but I think this was the first time we got to see a lot more of his range as an actor. That confrontation was so good from Paul Bettany. We never see Vision angry or upset. Elizabeth Olsen has been killing it on a day-to-day basis. Like, she has been ridiculous in every episode, and it's been fantastic. But we finally get to see Vision at a breaking point, and I just want to say that's also fantastic. And then finally, of course, if this episode couldn't get any more wild, it ends with Pietro coming to the door. Pietro Maximoff. Only, it's not Aaron Taylor Johnson. It's not Pietro. It's Peter Maximoff. It's Evan Peters from the X-Men films, which is arguably the better version of the character, but that is so ridiculous, like, mind-blowing, that we finally have an X-Men character in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I know we have been talking about the fact that Deadpool will be coming later on, and we knew that possibly Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield are coming into Spider-Man 3. Those are still major possibilities that seem more likely than not. But we didn't expect this so soon. I don't think anyone expected that Evan Peters would be in this show so soon. As Quicksilver, I assumed that he would be in this show. I think we talked about this on the show at one point, but I thought that he would come on and eventually be Speed. I thought he would be Wanda's son, just like an older version that has grown up too fast. Like, I thought they were going to, every generation they would grow up. I didn't think that they would just age themselves up, but I guess that's how that works. But no, he is Quicksilver. He is Evan Peters Quicksilver. And we get a little bit more information as to who he is in the next episode, an all-new Halloween Spooktacular, where Wanda is trying to get Tommy and Billy on their first Halloween in the 90s, 2000s era now. Vision, interestingly, in this episode, has figured out, like, loopholes, how to get out of the house, and how to use the sitcom format to his advantage. And he comes down, like, oh, I need to be part of the Halloween watch, because, like, this is a bad time for TPing and stuff. And he's like, I'm undercover. Like, he's playing as if he's in a sitcom, but really he's trying to get out and get away from Wanda and figure out what the heck is going on. And it's funny because she goes, that wasn't the plan. Like, she tries to say that wasn't the plan. And he goes, huh? Because, you know, Wanda sets up the scenarios for every episode. But Vision was like, no, that's not how life works. And she can't really control it. Peter in this one definitely is playing a Uncle Jesse kind of vibe. He is the goofy brother who comes around and causes havoc. And he's the cool brother. And even Tommy, I believe it is, who keeps saying, like, oh man, he even snores cool. Like, that's such a 2000s, like, Disney Channel, like, oh man, he's the cool guy. I want to be like him. Like, you know, that's it. And it gets that vibe. So I think he's doing a good job in the sitcom format. Wanda is trying to ask him questions to see if it's really him. It appears for a long time like he has the same memories. Like, he's like, I got shot in the street like a chump. And he's like, what happened to your accent? Well, what happened to yours? Like, he's like, things change. You made me look different because, you know, you don't want to see your dead brother in paradise. Like, I get that. He's saying things like that, trying to shrug off any questions she has. I think the one real time we see him put some cards down is when he asks her, like, how'd you even do all this? Like, where'd you hide all these kids? What is all this stuff? He has a lot of information about the bubble, which is particularly interesting to me. And then he said, I'm not your husband. I'm like, you can actually talk to me. Like, you can tell me things, you know. I'm not just somebody. Like, I'm not your husband. Tell me what's going on. So here's my theory as to who this guy is. I do not believe this is Quicksilver. I don't believe this is Quicksilver from the X-Men universe. I don't think this is Quicksilver, her brother, but changed. I think this is a Sword agent. Not just any Sword agent. I think this is the guy, the Beekeeper. The Beekeeper from a few episodes ago that we have not seen in a long time, which I'm very worried about. But here's what I'm thinking happened. He must have gotten kicked out in some way, but she never saw his face. So he understands how the world works a little bit in this bubble, a little bit more than anybody else. So I think director Hayward probably sent him back in, saying, like, look, she keeps talking about Quicksilver. She keeps talking about Quicksilver and we need some information. So you're going to play the part of Quicksilver. Now, if you haven't noticed, he didn't use his superpowers until episode 6. He did not use super speed when he came in the first time. So I think that his plan was to come in, say he's Pietro, but also do the part as he's been saying, you know, like hug your freaking sister to death or what? Like he's going in on both parts, on that one and in this episode. He's trying to be part of the sitcom, so the sitcom's not really changing him. He's doing his best part to do that. And as soon as she believes that it's Pietro, that she thinks that she did that, he starts to have the powers because Wanda is changing the reality. Wanda believes he's Pietro now. He is Pietro. He has super speed. He has the... he's acting a little bit more like Quicksilver. Maybe he's getting a few memories from Wanda herself. But he's using that to his advantage in order to get into Wanda's head and figure out what the heck is going on. I think he's a sword agent. I don't think he's Pietro Maximoff at all. We also see outside the Hex that Darcy, Jimmy Woo, the best, and Monica Rambeau have been kicked off the base for trying to side with Wanda. And so they have to go rogue and try to figure out how to help from the outside. It's pretty fun. They take out some goons. Jimmy Woo gets to fight a little bit. That was fun. And we find out that Monica's DNA is being changed, which kind of leads to a lot of different theories about her becoming a mutant. I think that this is going to turn her into a Captain Marvel-like being because she has spent so much time with Captain Marvel. It's probably somewhere in her cells and she can gain the radiation and gain some of her abilities. And I think that's how they're going to win the fight. I think the fight is going to be Wanda and Monica at the very end. I'm pretty sure that they've kind of set up the fact that Captain Marvel is the only one that could probably take out Scarlet Witch right now. So they're going to get their own. It's going to be Monica. We also see Vision trying to leave the Hex. Vision has used this to his advantage, all the sitcoms. And as he's leaving, he sees that less and less people are doing things. Like, they're frozen. They're background characters. And in the background, you don't need to do much. So Wanda doesn't need to control them. She doesn't really see them. So she just throws them there. So that way they can't do anything in her hex. The people are crying. Some people are barely moving. There's one guy just moving a pumpkin back and forth because he's in Halloween. It's insane. And we get a confrontation between Vision and Agnes, which many people believed Agnes was the villain. I believed so too for quite a bit of time. But this one kind of cements the fact that Agnes is just a person. Agnes doesn't have any control over Wanda. She wanted to leave. She was trying to leave. And she's like, oh, Vision, you're going to save us. And she's like, no, you're dead. You're dead. And she's losing her mind, poor Agnes. She's been the closest to Wanda. Of course she's losing it. I'm so sad. I feel so bad for Catherine Hahn in this episode. We see Vision actually leave the Hex. And as he is leaving the Hex, he is breaking apart. He is being destroyed because, of course, he's dead in real life. He can't live outside the Hex. That's what the Hex is for, as we all thought. Sword won't help him, which is particularly interesting. So I'm pretty sure that Hayward is just trying to get to Vision. He just wants Vision's body so he can recreate robots and anything else that he can do. I'm pretty sure Vision was being used at Sword. I think Hayward just wants his robot back. He doesn't care about Vision. And then finally, as Vision is dying, the big twist of the whole episode, Scarlet Witch is able to, one, freeze the whole dome, which was insanely powerful, first of all. That's a big move. But two, she expanded it by a lot. And the implications of that are scary. Like, there are now a lot more people in it. How much more control of this dome could she have now that she could barely control those 5 miles? What is she going to do when it's 15 or 20 miles now? She's losing it. She's losing control of the barrier. She's losing control of the situations within it. And she's just made it bigger. This is going to be a lot for her to handle. And I'm excited to see what that means. Also, Darcy joined in. Darcy is now in the dome. That was not her intention, of course. She was locked. She was like handcuffed to a car. But she is now in the dome. I think that's, of course, a callback to the fact that she was a part of a sitcom. I think that's why you brought in Darcy and Randall Park as well, because they're both modern sitcom stars, of course, and this is a sitcom show. Let's bring them in and make them part of the dome. I'm pretty sure Jimmy Woo will be in there eventually as well. I'm excited to see what happens next. I have no idea where they're going with this, but I think that they have officially in this episode set up that Wanda is the bad guy. Wanda is doing everything. Whether she has good reasons or not, this is her fault. She has done everything. Agnes has no part to play. There's no one else in the dome with a part to play. There are people trying to stop her, of course, but it's all Wanda. It is all Wanda. But yeah, let me know what you guys thought of the last two episodes of WandaVision. Are you excited for Pietro? Do you think this is Pietro? Please let me know, because I do not think so at all. We'll be back next week with another episode of WandaVision. Finally, I'm going to leave you guys with a recommendation that I think it's going to be a tough watch in some ways, but it's a necessary one. It is a very good movie about Fred Hampton that has come out in the past 2 weeks called Judas and the Black Messiah, centering around Bill O'Neill, who is an informant to the FBI who helps assassinate Fred Hampton. It is a biopic that centers around these two main characters, the Judas, who is played by Lakeith Stanfield, and the Black Messiah, played by Daniel Kaluuya, both giving great performances. I think particularly Daniel Kaluuya destroys in this movie. He's so empathetic, he's so loving, and he's angry and he's upset, but he wants to help people. Like, he consistently shows how much he cares about other people in this movie, and he rarely ever gets angry. I'd argue Bill O'Neill is the more violent and reckless one of the two, but it definitely shows the Black Panther Party in a more realistic light as what they actually do and who they actually are. Like, yes, they hold guns. Like, yes, they do these things, but they also help the community. They also believe they were at war and they were trying to get people together to bring justice, and that is important. Like, we often see the Black Panther Party as just this bad thing that we shouldn't talk about, but there is much more to it than that. And I think this movie does a very good job of painting a whole picture as to what the Black Panther Party actually is. There are some great performances in this from Dominic Fishback, from Martin Sheen. Horrifying, but he's good in this. The movie hurts your soul, especially I'm a person of color. It hurts to see these things. I live in Chicago. Like, I know what life is like here. And it sucks and it hurts, but it's important to realize that this has been a continuous fight. It's not something new. It's not something that the police have it so hard. They're oppressors. And that's something that needs to be shown, I think, more often in film, how oppressive the police are particularly. So I think this movie is very important. I think you're going to love it. I think you're going to be upset by the end of it, but I think you're going to love the performances. You're going to love the writing. You're going to love how dramatic it is. It's realistic. It's real life. And I don't think I talk about enough things on this show, on this podcast, that are real life. And I think this one is the most important in a long time. So definitely check out Judas and the Black Messiah. If you want to see another movie with Fred Hampton in it, I recommended a while back Trial of the Chicago 7. It's on Netflix. This one is on HBO Max. Check out both of them, I'd say. They're both very important films. So check it out on HBO Max very soon. And that's all I really have for you guys this week. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to support the podcast, feel free to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Live Action Remake, or you can follow us on Twitter at Action Remake Pod. Feel free to tweet us, ask us any questions. I'd be more than happy to check them out. You can also email us at liveactionremakepodcast@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you guys have a great week. Stay safe, stay warm. It's very cold out, a lot of snow. Wear a mask, do what you love. I'm signing out. Have a good one, y'all.